Bless the Lord. I think I'm on. No, I'm just going to leave it. Yeah. That's good enough right there. It's fine. Bless the Lord. Man. Man, oh man. Well, take a deep breath. Hearing this aroma of life. You guys smell the flowers? Man. Well, try to figure this out. Tracy, a couple weeks ago, where is Tracy at? Tracy, say something to me. There she is. If I get this wrong, please fix it. But Tracy said a couple weeks ago when she moved the furniture, so to speak, that the Lord had given her, I think I wrote it down, movement creates momentum. And she connected it to entering the promised land. In Joshua 3:13, it says that the priest had to actually dip his toe in the water before the sea parted. I think that was the point, right? Is that they could have felt like the word of the Lord was, that they could have stood there and watched that river the whole time, but they actually had to step into that, right? So the Lord is doing a number of things here, and I'm cautious in my spirit here this morning, just so you know, so if I'm a little clunky and hesitant, I'm trying to talk and listen at the same time. If anyone has something, please just raise your hand and stop me. I'm going to miss the Lord on this. I've got some stuff to go through, but we'll follow what the Lord has here in this. Entering the promised land, I think you also said, and wrap this piece up, that morning you said that it's uncomfortable. I think you said you were uncomfortable. There was a lot of us uncomfortable, and that the reality is Jesus' life was uncomfortable. A lot of times that's what it takes to move into that level of where the Spirit wants us, is to break the comfort zone out and to get into the uncomfortable. Thank you for your word this morning. It's good, solid stuff that God is going to perform what He set out to do. Amen. The last thing I want to say before I move on to maybe the fast piece is that there's a generational shifting that's happening. I appreciate the young people, even appreciate Ray last week. This is more difficult having watched them try to figure this out. This is a little more difficult than it looks, right? Because the essence is that they're counting on us to know the words and sing with them. And so when it doesn't, they just have to keep pushing forward. They have to just keep moving and wait for us to figure out where we're all at. We'll figure all this stuff out as it goes along, folks. We'll figure out what we're doing with pews and chairs and sort all that out. I'm not exactly sure what all that looks like. To your point, though, I'm not at all zero anxious to go back to where we started from. The Lord moved us. Where we end up is something in the future. I'm also not anxious to stay here necessarily. But I'm definitely not anxious that kind of the gate is closed. We crossed the river. I don't want to go back across the river, right? What's that? Ships are burned, right? Monuments are set. And so whatever we do, we want it to be in this flow of life, this flow of the Spirit of God. So that's a little bit of saying, hey, for those who are maybe worried we're staying like this, well, we might be. For those of you who are hoping we were going back, well, we're not. So you have to figure out which one of those boats you're in. For those of you who are looking forward to where the Spirit wants us to go, that's the ship I'm going to be on. And so if you want to join me in that, then be praying about that, figuring out what that looks like. Because in all reality, we really don't know what that looks like because we haven't done it yet, right? If we knew what that was, we would be doing it already. Fast review. The fast review, meaning not like fast review, like speed, but we've just come off of 40-day fast. Praise God, I get to eat bread and sugar today. and I fasted through lunch. So I got up and I saw the bread Linda was making. I'm like, oh my gosh, there was stuff all over the counter. And I had already committed to waiting until after church. But it's going to take time to uncover what the 40 days meant. I know a lot. I've talked to a lot of folks, and I know there's a lot going on the inside. And just to be clear, that was well outside of this body. There's people all over the world. Paulo and his group got tons of stuff. So here's what I'll say about this before we get into the actual lesson is it's just going to take some time to uncover this. But I will say this. For me, the amount of things is kind of off the charts. From Paulo in Brazil talking to me constantly, from James, and all of a sudden we're heading to India. Well, we're not. Shelly is, but we're going. We are going, right? So, yes, so we are. From Tracy and Josie coming and wrecking the life here of the church. So that happened in these 40 days. Well done. Where's Josie at? Where's the other troublemaker? She's in the back row up here. So you guys know there's a ministry my mom and dad ran. That thing is kind of, there's a legacy in the family, and there's all kinds of conversations there. From Gabe and I finding ourselves in a political meeting the other night that we did not belong. We were the low men on the totem pole standing in a small group with some fairly powerful political leaders, and I'm standing there and have sense like, what, Lord, do you have me doing there? Just some stuff there. To last Sunday, we are at home, and in our living room is sitting, get this right, an Afghan national? Is that correct? What was Daniel? So sitting in my living room is a born-again Afghan Christian. I was born in Afghanistan and through a process migrated over to, was it Istanbul, Turkey? Istanbul, Turkey, I got that right. So, and encountered the Lord and met a missionary lady and got married and ended up back in the States and ended up in my living room, thanks to Olive and their mom. But in asking him about his testimony, it struck me that, and this will be similar to what you experience, the cost for Daniel to follow Jesus is nowhere close to what cost me to follow Jesus. He can't go back to see mom and dad. They'll kill him. They want to be in Istanbul. They kicked him out. They said they were going to send him back to Afghanistan and her back to America. They went through a visa process, and thank God he was able to come with her. But they're sitting in our living room with all the amenities of the United States, and he is, you can just tell, both of them want to be back in the big city ministering to Afghans who don't know Jesus, because he is so set free. And he said when he got saved, I think he said his mom pretty much disowned him. She didn't talk to him for 3 to 4 years, and it was only through a grandbaby that started to mend some fences. And in 12 years of marriage, I think they've only seen them one time in some foreign, Rwanda, yeah. So, but he's like, I can't go back because if I step foot back in the country, I'm done, right? I'm a Jesus follower. That doesn't work in Afghanistan with my family. The cost of this man to follow Jesus challenged my heart, right? It doesn't mean I want to run out and figure out how to be challenged like him. I just want to be thankful. I want to be aware when I look in the mirror that Nick's got it pretty easy. That when I whine and complain about whatever I have to do to follow Jesus, it isn't anywhere close to what that man has to do to follow Jesus, right? And yet, even when he's extracted from that and given probably a wonderful opportunity to be in America, he doesn't want to stay. He's like, hey, send me back there where it's tough. I want to go back and win some more of my people. So what they're doing now, just so you know, and again, I'm not going to belabor this, but what they're doing now is they're just going, I think, South Carolina, North Carolina, and they're Charlotte, and they're going down there where there's some Afghan refugees that don't know Jesus, and he's going to go try to do some of that work in the United States to fulfill that and see what the Lord has for them. But I could name 5 or 6 other things that during this time of this 40-day is the Lord is moving. I'm sure there's many, many testimonies. The Lord is absolutely moving to uncap what I would call old wells. We had that specific word the other night in prayer meeting. That has just not left me. I think the Lord has had started things, for instance, and he's not done with those things. And so as you think about that and hear that, remind yourself of your old things, right? Go dig around on the shelf of things that you heard 5 years ago, 6 years ago, and you just thought that was done, right? You thought, oh, that thing was something the Lord put in me, but I don't know what that word was from. Find those prophetic words. Find those things you wrote down. Pull those back up. This is the season to pull those back up. We're in a Kairos season where the Lord has put a lot of that. When I look at some of this stuff, it's 10 years in the making. All of a sudden, I'm like, man, that was a long time, Lord, for that to come to pass. But our challenge here in this season is not to just sit in these four walls, but actually, what did the Lord plant, and what is He getting ready to harvest, right? So do that and figure out what that looks like. Turn over to John chapter 12. Actually, I'm going to read out of the NIV, which is only on my iPad. John chapter 12. I have a lesson over here on the table. Some of you maybe can't see it. Gabe already knows what it is. It's because he's so smart. Well, you have to draw him a picture, but even this is not probably good enough. I'm going to use the piano top. How's that work? That way everybody can see it. John chapter 12. Ask me, how is this an Easter sermon? We're going to talk about corn, and you want to somehow relate this to an Easter sermon. Verse 1, 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany. So, just to be clear where this is at, I'm just going to set this up. 6 days before the Passover, that's last Sunday. Okay, he's just come off the donkey on Palm Sunday. So we're starting here in verse 1, 6 days before the Passover. Jump down to verse 12. It says, the next day, the great crowd that had come for the festival heard that Jesus was on His way to Jerusalem. You guys know the story. This was last week. Jesus has come to Bethany where He raised Lazarus from the dead. This is where Martha and Mary and Lazarus lived. Jesus visited there quite a bit. He's pretty home there, right? And so He's there. And so if you recall, somebody preached recently, when He came and raised Lazarus from the dead, what did the disciples think was going to happen? Anybody remember what they said? Let's go with Him so we can... Huh? Die with Him. So the disciples, and it's getting more hot. That was like 3 or 4 months ago, they thought it was hot enough that if they went with Jesus just to go raise Lazarus from the dead, they're all dying. I can't imagine now He's dragging them right back into this same spot, right? So let's jump down to verse 20. Now there were some Greeks among those who went up to worship at the festival. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, with a request. Sir, they said, we would like to see Jesus. Philip went to tell Andrew, which was Peter's brother. Andrew and Philip in turn told Jesus. Now this is funny. This is a little bit comical to me. The Greeks come to Philip. Philip goes to Andrew. Andrew and Philip go to Jesus, and they go up to Jesus and say, hey, we got some Greeks who want to see you. Wouldn't it be normal for Jesus to answer that actual question? Okay, just read here for just a second and find out if He actually answers the question. He doesn't, just so you know. Jesus replied, the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Just as a little comical, I can just see Philip and or Andrew and Philip again be like, that's not what I asked you. What are you talking about? Like, I just want to know, can these guys come see you? And Jesus just goes this other way, which tells you where His mind's at. Tells you where Jesus' heart's at. Tells you where He's thinking. Jesus replied, the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. Anyone who loves their life will lose it, while anyone who hates their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honor the one who serves me. Now my soul is troubled. Now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. No, it was for this very reason I came to this hour. Father, glorify Your name. Then a voice came from heaven. I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again. Jesus says, a seed has to fall into the ground and die. when it dies, it will produce many seeds. Folks, that is the Easter story. That's it. That's the message of Easter. Jesus has to die. And if he dies, then there'll be many seeds get birth when he gets birth. And because he did that on Easter, we are the many seeds we're going to talk about here in just a second. Exactly what he did. And his soul was troubled because that was not an easy thing. Turn over to Mark chapter 4. This morning, I don't know what the title of the sermon. Good luck on this one, Steph. Mark chapter 4. But here's what we are. We're basically talking about seed and soil. Up here on the, you'll see here in a second as we go through this. Up here, I've got a few different types of soil. This is a pretty good soil here. That one is. I cheated there. This one is some soil from the field. If you can see here, you guys see the corn plant in the middle. I added some weeds. I transplanted some weeds because Matt told me the other day when he saw, he's like, that's not even according to Scripture. There's no weeds in that. It's weeds now, Matt. So here's a couple different kinds. This literally, folks, this one here, which is really odd, like this is not, it's just straight rocks. And there's a corn thing coming up. Like, so we can plant corn in rocks, apparently.
We've tried.
And then look here. Nothing grew in here. I watered these, just so you know. Every one of these plants planted on the same day, same sunlight, same temperature, same water. I did it every day, most of the time. Linda took care of some of it. Every one of these had the exact same thing in there. Mark chapter 4. Remember this as we're talking about this. Remember, what's the seed, according to Mark 4? Anybody? The seed is the Word of God. What's the soil? Michael, you preached a fantastic sermon on this. What is the soil? Just recently, your last one. Yes. However girls do that, the heart. Do you remember your sermon on the heart, or did you stay up too late last night with Declan? Huh?
When did I preach?
The last one was on the heart.
Oh, all right.
Yes, you did. Well, you impacted me. Apparently, you don't remember it, so that's good, though. It was a good one. Go back and listen to it. Yeah, go back and listen to the last sermon.
I must have been in the spirit.
Yes, you were. The Word of God and the heart of man. That's what we're going to talk about, because it ultimately is the core of the Easter story. Remember this as we read through here. Just keep that in mind, the Word of God and the heart of man. Chapter 4, verse 1. And Jesus began to teach by the lake. The crowd gathered around him was so large that he got into a boat and sat out in the lake. While all the people were along the shore at the water's edge, he taught them many things by parables. And in his teaching, he said, "Listen, a farmer went out to sow his seed, and as he scattered the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it didn't have much soil, and it sprang up, but it quickly became shallow." Because the soil was shallow, the sun came up, and the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up, choked the plants, so that they did not bear grain. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up, grew, and produced a crop, some multiplying 30, 60, and 100 times. Then Jesus said, pay attention to this, "Whoever has ears to hear, let him hear." When he was alone with the 12 and others around him, they asked him about the parables. And he told them, "The secret of the kingdom of God, the secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to those on the outside, everything is said in parables, so that they may be ever seeing, but not perceiving, ever hearing, but never understanding. Otherwise, they might turn and be forgiven." Then Jesus said to them, I'm going to read down to 20 here. "Do you understand this parable? How then will you understand any parable? The farmer sows the word. Some people are like seed along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. Others, like seed sown on rocky places, hear the word and at once receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Still others, like seed sown among thorns, hear the word, But the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth and the desires for other things come in, choke the word, making it unfruitful. Others, like seed sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, produce crop, some 30, some 60, some 100 times what is sown. Actually, I had three more verses to read here that were in my notes. Jump down to verse 26. He also said, this is kind of summarizing what he just said, this is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground, night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain. First the stalk, then the head, then the full corn in the head. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts in the sickle because the harvest is ready. We're going to just talk here for just a second, but this is more of a visual lesson for what Holy Spirit wants to tell you in your own heart this morning. But let me show you something that the Lord really jumped out to me. Look at verse 11 and 12 again here. He told them, the secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to those on the outside, everything is said in parables, so that they see but they don't perceive, they hear but they don't understand. And in fact, he says just a little while longer to the disciples that he actually said to the disciples, you've been given the ability to know, but then a few verses later, he says, how do you not know this? Right? So he says, so there's three things going on here. He says, you've been given the ability to know, and then he's kind of upbraids them by saying, how is it you don't know this parable? Because if you don't know this parable, you're not going to know anything. Sitting in front of us is the parable of the kingdom. If you don't know this, then you're at step one. Okay, now, what is it we're not perceiving? What is it we're not understanding? Because that's verse 11 and 12. You're seeing it, but you're not perceiving. You're hearing it, but you're not understanding. Give me some thoughts. I'm gonna make some of you give me some thoughts. What are we not perceiving here? That's great. Wow. Wise one. Leah, you just like stole the show. Say again. Louder.
The condition of our heart.
Okay, we're not perceiving the condition of our heart. What else? What else are we not seeing?
The first one, I just picked this up. When the seed falls on the path, it's laying on top of the ground.
Yeah.
The enemy actually comes and takes the seed.
Yeah.
It says the birds fly up and pick the seed up off the ground. It's just laying on top of the ground.
Somebody tell me where the will of God's at here. Huh? It's in all of them because? And so what's that mean? The seed is the word of God, right? Somebody might say, well, this one's the will of God, right? This one's the will of God. Well, I understand, not to be too confusing. So's this one, right? This one's the word of God. That's the will of God, right? So the will of God went into all of that. Going back to your point,
all the hearts.
So the key is, right?
Even the one that got stolen.
What else are we not understanding? What are we not perceiving? Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's not the seed's fault. It's like you said, it'll grow on the path. I've seen it. Us farmers have seen seed growing in the driveway. It just ain't going to produce a lot of fruit. The seed doesn't know anything else but to just start growing, right? I'm not going real deep in this. Just so you know, I'm really not going to spend a lot of time on this, Josh.
I see it as different areas in your life that if you're hanging out in the bar all the time, you're not going to be that fruitful. But if you surround yourself with good people, good situations, it's
going to grow. Okay. It's a little religious. I only do this. I would not do this to anyone else, so nobody else gets scared about saying a question like that. Only Neubauer. So works will get you to good soil.
No.
I'm teasing.
I know you are.
One of the big questions is, this is a bad idea to work off this piano, but it works. One of the questions for me is, can you get somebody from here to here? Thoughts? Let's say that you are this soil. Then your job is not just to grow. Your job is to maybe go find somebody there, and how do you get them there?
Well, it seems like more of an opportunity than being forced.
Okay.
It's an opportunity to...
So instead of it being a law and a rule, it's more of a reaction to the fact that it's an opportunity.
Make their hearts open.
Yeah, that's good. Who said something? Yeah. We have to be careful, to your point, to judge what's good soil and bad soil, right? Because that's a little tricky.
Is the parable about a seed or is it about a soil?
But you share your soil.
Oh. Yeah, he's just trying to be disruptive.
I'm not trying to be disruptive. I'm saying, so when you read it, I'm obviously the Word of God is multi-layered, multifaceted.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
If you read this from a soil standpoint, it's a soil analysis.
Yeah, it is. I agree.
About the seed, the seed's consistent, but the soil's not.
Well, and then I think it probably is a little bit more of a soils, because we have no ability to change the Word of God. We just have the ability to receive it or not receive it, right? So it's a soils analysis, but it's still based on the human heart receiving it or not receiving it.
When I look at it, I think I have some effect on soil. I have no effect on seed.
You guys want to have some fun? You guys want to look at the roots? Well, kind of.
Matt.
What?
Matt says, what do you think?
Okay. See that? Looks healthy, don't it? Yes, I have done this already. Of course I've done this. I've pulled up corn plants a lot in my life. So there's the root to that seed. There's the seed. Shelley, to your point, that thing doesn't know anything else to do but to start growing, right? Now this is the one, I want you to know something. Same day, same water, same everything, right? Only because I know it's about to happen, this is going to get a little bit messy. Honey, do you have those? What? Bring me those. Okay. Can you see that?
Might affect his paper cuts, Josh.
Stop. This is a messy. This is such a ball of roots right here. What's not attached to this one? This one's not attached to soil. This has no anchor, right? Now, I want to show you something that I always find interesting in the plant world. This, if I stretch that out, would be about right there. So, look at these girly wipes here. Huh?
Really good. Even the other one, same thing.
The depth of the root is at times almost twice as much as the plant itself high. Right? If you look at if you measured that root, it's deep. What's the point of that? Well, the point, just in a superficial piece, is that the Word of God in our hearts, if we're going to produce fruit, if we're actually going to take advantage, if we're going to walk with Jesus, if we're going to follow Jesus, if we're going to do these things, then the Word of God has got to be so deep down inside of us and producing fruit that that's how the plant grows. What's the difference between it's just real simple. What's the difference between those corn plants? Somebody would say it's soil. Nope. Close. But what's the difference? The root system of the healthy plant has places to go. Like it's growing. It has where to go. And what you can't see is that heart. We all come in here, and I'll wrap up with this. We all come in here and we have everybody sees the green corn. You can hide your heart, can't you? Yeah. Tracy, can you hide your heart? Michael, you can hide yours. Yeah. Derek, you can hide yours. Ray, you hide yours. You're a little bit older, but, you know. Play. Nicholas, can you hide yours? Yeah. See, everybody can hide what's below the surface, but that's actually the part, that's the life part. That's the part we have to get to. That's the part that as a body we have to get down into, because at the end of the day, the root system of the plant is going to drive the whole plant. When I see something that's not right on the surface, I don't start pounding on the surface. I start digging around in the root. I need to know what's going on, and it always comes back to the Word of God. Okay, we're going to wrap up. I don't want you to turn to here. I'm going to read real quick John chapter 19. I'm just going to read the story here that we're celebrating today, and then we'll close, and we'll wrap up and get out of here. This is John chapter 25. Where's Hose at? I feel like we might close with the Exalt Thee, but just be ready. Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother there, and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby. He's hanging on a cross, folks. He said to her, "Woman, here's your son." And to the disciple, "Here's your mother." From that time on, this disciple took her into his own home. Later, knowing that everything had now been finished, and so the scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, "I am thirsty." A jar of wine vinegar was there, so they soaked it on a sponge, put the sponge on a stalk of hyssop plant, and they lifted it to Jesus' lips. When he had received the drink, Jesus said, "It is finished." With that, he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. I'm going to jump down to verse 40. Taking Jesus' body, the two of them wrapped it with the spices in strips of linen. This was in accordance with Jewish burial customs. At that place where Jesus was crucified, there was a garden. And in the garden was a new tomb in which no one had ever been laid. But it was the Jewish day of preparation. And since the tomb was nearby, they put Jesus in there. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb. She saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. She ran back to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one that Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." Peter and the other disciples started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter, got to the tomb first. He bent over, looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but he didn't go in. Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple who had got to the tomb first went inside. He saw and believed as well. They still didn't understand, though, the scripture that Jesus had to raise from the dead. Then those two disciples went back to where they were saying, "Now Mary, say, "Now, Mary." Now, Mary. Now, Mary. I've been in this story so many times. Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one on the head and one on the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "Well, they have taken away my Lord," she said, "and I don't know where they put him." At this, she turned and saw Jesus, but she didn't know it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was a gardener, the Son of God, mistaken for a gardener. The Son of God, risen from the dead, was mistaken for a gardener. She said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." Lynn, you see what happened there? You see that? Hey, Lynn, who calls you that? Who else calls you that? Right? Mary. Mary's a mess. And here Jesus, "Hey, Mary." She just knows instantly. "Stand up. Joseph, just come down here by yourself." Somebody said this earlier. I don't know. Maybe somebody didn't say this. Each of you has a name. And Jesus knows your name. And he's calling it. He's saying, "Jimmy, Gabriel, Dr. Scott, Daryl, Ruth, Ruth." Lord, we love you. We thank you that you know our names as you did Mary. And when we hear it, it burns inside of us and it draws us. And for those who are here who haven't heard you say their name, then right now we ask that you just create that right now, Lord. And I would stop and say here just for a second, with all the eyes closed and heads bowed, if there's anyone in here and Jesus has not said your name, you haven't heard that, but you want to hear that, raise your hand, please. I won't embarrass anybody. I just feel like the Lord wanted me to do this for a second. Lord, we thank you that anyone in this room who did raise their hand, and Lord, I wasn't scanning the whole thing. You saw that, Lord, that they want to know, they want to hear your voice like Mary did. And what happens in that moment is you go from a gardener to the Son of God, the Savior of the world, from a gardener to the Savior of the world instantaneously inside the heart of that believer, from rocky soil to productive soil in a moment when we hear you call our name. Lord, thank you for this great celebration. Thank you for this aroma of life that is in my nostrils this morning, Lord. The life of Zoe. Zoe is spreading out across this land, and there is fire emanating from this place, Lord. Thank you that it's in the heart of these believers as they go out There's going to be treads of fire everywhere they go this week. And in Jesus' name, all God's people said,
amen.
He is alive. Amen.